Welcome to the Shiur and Kli Yochor Parshas Vayigash. Wanted to start tonight with a beautiful approach from the Kli Yochor, which is more of a Gemara approach. His starting point is Chumash and different midrashim on Chumash, but in a sense, it's really indicative of his Talmudic expertise. He's dealing with the Gemara more than anything else. The pasuk says in Perek Memhei, pasuk Chavdalid, Yosef has revealed himself already to his brothers. The brothers have come to terms with the fact that this is their long lost brother speaking to them, and he sends them back to Eretz Yisrael. It says Vayishalach Esecha Vayilechu. He sends his brothers back, and they go. Vayomer Aleihem, and he says to them, Al Tirgizu Badorech. Literally, don't do things which will anger you on the way. What does that mean? Right, so it's interesting. If you look at the Targum Unculus, right, so the Targum Unculus writes, Va'omar Lahon, Lo Sismatsun Be'orcho. You shouldn't fight on the way back. And the Ibn Ezra elaborates on this a little bit. He says, Al Tirgizu means, Shichos Ish Al Achiv Bavor Mechiroso. Right? Here these brothers, the brothers are on their way back. They have a long trip from Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael. They just discovered that, Yosef is still alive after 22 years. You could imagine that they'd be fighting among themselves on the way back. It was your fault, it was your fault, it was your fault, it's not uncommon for people to fight. So Yosef has to tell them, Al tirgizu badarach, don't fight on the way back, the same way that I made peace with you, you should all make peace with one another and don't fight. That's probably the simplest pshat as to how to understand his instruction to them. However, Rashi writes from Chazal, and by the way, Rashi writes that as the Pashut of Pshat as well. He writes, "Hayadoeg Shema Yarivu Baderach Al Dvar Mechirasa." Right? Rashi also writes that the simple Pshat is that he was worried they would fight with one another on the way back home. But Rashi also brings, really as his first Pshat, a midrashic interpretation. Al Tisasku B'Dvar Halacha. On your way back, don't delve deeply into a dvar halacha. Don't delve deeply into Torah on the way back. Shelo tirgaz aleichem hadorech. So that the way back should not anger you in some way. What does this mean? To put it in contemporary terms, if you're driving, don't get involved in an elaborate Talmudic discussion with someone in the car, especially one where you have to take your hands off the steering wheel and use your thumbs, right? Because that's just not going to be good. So Yosef tells his brothers, nothing to do with their particular journey, but he gives them advice which he would give anyone setting out on a journey. Focus on the road. Don't get involved in a complicated Torah discussion, which I know under normal circumstances you would want to get involved in. Don't get involved in a complicated Torah discussion because that might impact on your ability to make it home safely. That's Rashi quotes from Chazal as follows. The Kli Yochor comments that Gir Sazo Hibe Maseches Tainus. Right? This Maimer Chazal that Rashi quotes is the Gemara in Masechta Tainus. Omer Reb Elazar, Omer Yosef Le'echov, Al Tisatzku B'Dvar Halacha, Shema Tirgaz Aleichem Adorach. Right? He quotes Reb Elazar from the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Yudim and Beis, as giving this interpretation. Eini, the Gemara then asks, V'Omer Reb Eloi, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Hamahalchim Baderach Ve'ein B'neim Divrei Torah, Ruin Lisarev? The Gemara there in Titus continues, how can you say that Yosef told his brothers that the Daka shouldn't learn Torah on their way back? After all, we have another competing Maimer Chazal that says that if two Talmidei Chachamim are walking along the road together and they don't learn Torah, so they're worthy of being burned up, and the Gemara quotes the proof text from Eliyahu and Elisha. So answers the Gemara, Lokasha halamigras halaiyune. Says the Gemara, well, it depends what kind of learning we're talking about. Lemigras, which means to learn kind of just superficially, That's not only permitted, but that's appropriate. In other words, when you are traveling, you should learn something light. You know, that is appropriate. But l'iyune, to learn something complicated and involved when you're traveling, so again, we're afraid that you're not going to focus on the way home the way that you should be, and that's prohibited or, you know, discouraged for a person to do on his way traveling. That's our Gemara says in Tainus. Right, but our Gemara in Tainus, you know, Rashi's quoting our Gemara in Tainus, which says that Al Tirgus of Badarach is an admonition from Yosef to his brothers not to learn too deeply on the way home. It's interesting, says the Kli Yakar, that Talmud Shelanu Cholek Al HaBreishis Rabba. If you look in the Medrash in Breishis Rabba, the Medrash presents Yosef as telling his brothers exactly the opposite. There, Yosef is depicted telling his brothers as saying, "Al ta'amidu atzmeichem midivrei Torah." On your way back home, don't refrain from Torah learning. So it's mamish the opposite. And as our Gemara, the Gemara in Tainus, depicts Yosef as telling his brothers, "Don't learn too much. Don't learn too deeply." And the Medrash in Breishis Rabba depicts Yosef as telling his brothers, you know, don't stop learning on the way home. Right? So again, it is possible to say, the Gemara says this, the Medrash says that. Okay, you know, it wouldn't be the first time in Jewish life that we have a machlokas. But writes the Kli Yakar, and I think we'll see somewhat convincingly, V'hinei makom iti liyashev shnei midrashim elu, she'ein machlokas beinehem. I'd like to suggest the following, says the Kli Yakar, to try to reconcile the Gemara with the Medrash, and to say that really there is no machlokas between the two of them, even though they seem to be saying the same thing. Ki hagirsa haynu hadibur b'peh b'dvarim shutum shedina mevuar b'Torah ve'elo nikra'im divrei Torah shi'edaber min ikrei hadinim shel Torah aval ha'iyun nikra dvar halacha. The Kli Yakar calls our attention to two phrases which I think we're inclined to treat as synonymous. But he says, perhaps Chazal understood them as being different from one another. Divrei Torah versus Divrei Halacha. Words of Torah versus words of Halacha. Right? So I think we typically think of those things as being, you know, two terms that mean more or less the same thing. Okay, Halacha maybe is a little bit more specific. Halacha is in terms of laws or the like. But we talk about the Divrei Torah that were being discussed by the brothers. Presumably we also mean something along those lines. Technically, Yakar, no. Divrei Torah, words of Torah, implies things that can easily be recited over Baal Peh without, you know, too much exertion, without the need to get involved in too much analysis or the like. That's Divrei Torah. Simple ideas.
Like what?
You can't eat before davening in the morning. Right? To say over a simple idea. Right, the halacha, which is more or less black
then
and white.
Don't you get involved? How much is eating, and how much is simple dropping?
Oh, right.
So that's not simple.
No. So you know, any superficial idea can always be analyzed. But as if a person is just engaged in divrei Torah, it means that they're learning the equivalent of, let's say, kitzur shulchan aruch without too much analysis. Again, you can analyze anything, right? I mean, you can analyze the kitzur shulchan aruch as well. Where did he get his sources from, and the like? But in other words, the style of presentation, just, you know, basic ideas, basic thoughts, you know, that's called Divrei Torah. Divrei Halacha, in contrast, Halacha implies analysis. Now, why does Halacha imply analysis? So he makes the following point. It's a very beautiful point. Halicha zo hehetek mimakom lamakom. What does Halacha mean? Halacha means walking. Halacha is related to the word laleches. Laleches, implies the whole process of analysis, because when you analyze something, you travel intellectually from place to place. You start off over here, you look at it this way, you look at it that way, you go over here, well, here's another source, well, here's a contradiction. That whole process is called halacha. So in other words, says the Kli Yakar, we have a difference between these two different types of learning. There's a Dvar Torah, which is just a thought of Torah, you know, what sometimes is referred to as a nugget. You know, it's a nugget of information versus a dvar halacha, which at least the way the Kliyakar is interpreting it means a piece of analysis, not just a piece of information, but the analysis of Torah where you're walking from place to place intellectually. Of course, we know that when a person learns Torah in depth, he naturally goes from place to place. Shema ayin ba, nad take me madrega la madrega. Right? If you learn Torah well, you travel from step to step. Mechachma labino, labino ladeya. Right? You go from one level of understanding to the next. So, with that distinction, says the Kliyakar, let's consider the machlokas we presented before between the Gemara and the Medrash, and we'll see, if you read it carefully, there really is no machlokas. When the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says Yosef spoke to his brothers, he said to them, don't refrain from Divrei Torah. Which, according to my interpretation, means don't, you know, learn nuggets of Torah, learn kitzer on the way back home. You know, learn, learn very, very simple things on the way back home. Don't refrain from doing that just because you have a journey ahead of you. But what does our Gemara in Titus say? And what does Rashi quote? It doesn't say don't learn Divrei Torah. It says don't get involved. And it uses the verb tisasku, right? To be steeped in, to toil in. Don't toil in words of halacha. Words of halacha, by definition, according to the Kliyakar, doesn't mean, you know, halacha in the sense of Jewish law. Halacha means analysis. Dvar halacha. Don't get involved in Torah analysis on the way back, because then you're going to get so involved in that you're going to miss your stop on the train, and you know you're going to end up in your chuppah somewhere, right? So that's the distinction between dvar halacha and dvar Torah, and it beautifully explains the quote unquote machlokas between the Medrash and the Gemara, because the Medrash and the Gemara each use different terms.
I wanted to ask you two things, combination of two things. One is, weren't the Shifekar sophisticated enough to know that for themselves? And that's number one. And number two, didn't Yosef have originally bad experiences by telling
them what to do?
Telling them what to do.
Right.
Well, getting involved in their personal life.
Right, so it's a good point. I mean, you know, it could be that, you know, the same way that, a lot has happened in those many years, and maybe the brothers now have come to realize that maybe it's not so bad to listen to Yosef, right? Maybe that's the point. Maybe also he sees fit to give them this piece of advice on the way back, because they're really befuddled, they're confused. You know, they walk away from Yosef. They're trying to get their heads around what happened. So Yosef tells them, and the truth is, if you put it in this context, I think it makes a lot of sense. Yosef tells them, I know you're thinking about this whole episode, and that's going to preoccupy yourselves. Despite all of your natural inclination to think about this episode, don't stop learning Torah on the way home. Right? And, you know, I think the brothers probably took that in the spirit in which it was offered. In other words, it was, you know, it wasn't that he was tattletaling to their father, oh, did you see what my brothers did? He's telling them, I care about you. I don't want you to stop learning Torah, even with this tremendous, you know, upheaval that you've experienced. Keep learning Torah, but just do yourselves a favor. Don't learn Torah too deeply, because then you're going to get into trouble. One Maimer Chazal complements the other. In other words, he told them both things. Right? If you just work with the Gemara and Tainis, Altis Asko B'Dvar Halacha, you have to wonder, like, of all the things, he's packing them up on the way, they're on the way home, and he waves after them, by the way, don't learn too much on the way home, right? No Minchas Chinuch on the way home, no Shagasari on the way home, right? This is a strange thing to tell people, right? But if the conversation went something along the following lines, I know that you're so fatracht with everything that went on here in Mitzrayim, and I know that your natural inclination is to just you know, think over it over and over and over again and try to get your head around what happened. You know, with all of that, don't lose sight of the importance of learning Torah on the way home, with the caveat that you shouldn't, you know, learn too much B'iyan on the way home, because then you'll really get lost. So learn, you know, on a superficial level, learn Divrei Torah, but stay away from Dvar Halacha. That's what he tells them on the way home. Right? So again, in a very beautiful way, the Kli Yoker is Miyashev, the Sira, the seeming contradiction which you have over here.
But how does one explain the Lashon Tzatzkut getting angry? I mean, we differentiated between getting involved and more superficial learning something less nugget, as the Rav said.
Right.
So how, it doesn't explain to how he applies the Lashon Tzatzkut to learning Torah.
Right, so the truth is, that actually leads me nicely into another little piece in the Kli Yoker. So it's a long Kli Yoker. I want to take out of it what we just learned, as well as another little piece at the end. At the very, very end of this Kli Yoker, he has the following, V'yesh Omer, it's a couple of lines from the end. L'fi shenemar, af chachmasi amdali, Mashalamarati ba'af v'chas. Right, he quotes another Maimer Chazal, the Kli Yoker. The pasuk says in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, Af chachmasi amdali, which the simple translation is Af, even my wisdom stood by me. But Chazal interpret that the word Af in that pasuk should be interpreted as Af in the sense of anger. Tara shalamarati ba'af hi amdali. The Torah that I learned with anger, that stood for me. Now, how do you learn Torah in anger? Or, you know, again, to paraphrase Shelley's question, why would Tirgazu, a lashon of getting angry, be applied to Limud HaTorah? So, what Chazal seems to be saying over here, and the idea of Torah Shalomadati Ba'af, Hi Omdoli, is the following. When a person gets angry, they're passionate. Right? You ever see two chavrusos who are really passionate about their learning with one another? Sometimes it seems as if they could kill one another. Right? That's the pshat. You think Tosfos says that? No, you're totally wrong. Tosfos never said that. You don't understand what you're talking about. And the truth is, when you learn Gemara and you find so many of the insults that the chachamim hurl at one another in the Gemara, you know, you don't have a brain in your head. Right, things like that, and you see that in the Gemara, you see that in the Rishonim, right? And you gotta wonder. You say, like, you know, my mommy taught me to be nice to everybody. How is it that these Gedolei HaRabbanim are speaking to one another with such, you know, invective? So the answer really is, it's not anger in the sense of that they really had it in one for the other. It's the anger, the emotions that are born of passion, right? The Gemara says also in Tainus, if you see a Talmud Chacham who's angry, don't be so turned off by that, because it's the Torah which is burning inside of that person. Meaning, a person who's really involved in Torah is passionate about Torah. And sometimes the line between passion and anger is a fine line to draw. Right? So Torah shalomati ba'af hi amdali, the positive pshat means the Torah that I learned with passion, you know, stood for me. Al tirgazu badarech, in that sense, means don't be passionate on the way home. What does that mean? So that's Rashi interprets from Chazal. Again, it all fits in. Don't get too involved in in-depth learning and analysis of Torah, because that will bring you to an emotional state, a state of passion, where you're gonna miss your stop on the train. You're not going to know which way to go, because you're going to be so involved in the Torah learning which is taking place. Right, so that's an interesting idea, and you know, maybe you could put that into the Chazal. In other words, we're fighting ostensibly over the Tosfos, but somewhere in the back of my mind, subconsciously, we're fighting over Mechiras Yosef. Right, so when I say you're an idiot, what kind of pshat is that in Tosfos? I'm really saying, deep down, you're an idiot. Why did you say that we should, you know, sell him to the Ishmaelim? You know, you could have saved him. Maybe. That's an interesting idea. That Davka over here, you know, he saw that subconsciously their fights over Torah would really be related to their fights over the event which had taken place.
When we said learning Lo Omar,
Omadli, it stayed with me. It was the Torah that I learned with passion, Omad, he Omdali, that stayed with me. Right,
but
he gives a fascinating interpretation, which has nothing to do with the pasuk, but it's a beautiful interpretation of this Maimer Chazal Torah Shlamati Ba'afi Amdali. V'ulai kivnu l'davar atzarach ion rav ka'amur. Right, when Chazal talk about Torah Shlamati Ba'af, they probably mean, he says, Torah that requires a lot of analysis and quote unquote anger, i.e., passion, that you need to really be able to understand it properly. But I want to add the following insight, the following lesson, which is his own lesson, says the Kli Yakar. It's a little bit of drush, but the idea is a beautiful idea. We know Chazal tell us that whenever a person gets angry, he inevitably errs. He makes a mistake. And Chazal also say, Ein Adam Omin Advar Halacha, a person never really remembers a dvar halacha unless he first messes up regarding that halacha. This is something I can certainly tell you, this is empirically true, right? The things you remember best is where you thought it was this, and then it turned out you were totally wrong. So the fact that, you know, you realize that you made a mistake, the mistake helps you remember that which you were mistaken about for a much longer period of time than if you got it right the first time around, right? When you have to work to correct your mistakes, that stays with you. So that's Chazal say, "Ein adam omen al dvar halacha." A person doesn't really absorb a dvar halacha elam kein nichshol batchila unless you first messed up regarding that dvar halacha. You gave the wrong psak, so for the rest of your life, you'll remember that the psak is not what you gave, because you know it sits on your head that you were mistaken. Al Kain Amru, it's for that reason that Chazal say Shachach Mishlamati Ba'af Bechas Asher Hevi Ani L'Deitos Hisha Amdali. That he says is the second pshat in Torah Shlamati Ba'af Hi Amdali. Not like we said before that the Torah that I learned with passion stuck with me. No, that's the simple pshat. Torah Shlamati Ba'af, the Torah that I learned in anger, that's the Torah that stuck with me. Why? Because if you get angry, you make a mistake. So Torah that I learned literally in anger. In other words, I was learning this Torah and I was so mad at my chavrusa because he said X and I wanted to show him that Y is really correct. So I learned Torah Y and it turned out that I was wrong. Why was I wrong? Because whenever you get angry, you get wrong. So now I'm always going to remember that it's X and not Y. So the Torah that I learned through anger, which causes mistakes, is the Torah that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. Those are the things that I'm going to remember. HaChachma shelamadati ba'af v'chas asher heviyanu lidetos hisha amdali ki atalar bedover pam echad. Because if a person makes a mistake once about a particular issue, oz biyoser hu nishma mimenu lahaba, you know, if a person is conscientious, he's going to be that much more careful about that thing in particular going forward in the future, right? Again, it's a nice chap in the idea that Chazal say Torah shelamadati ba'af, the Torah that I learned in anger, he amdoli, right? So in a similar fashion, you can apply that to the pasuk as well. Al tirguzu badarach, right? Don't get angry in your Torah learning, right? Because you know the Torah that is learned with much, you know, depth can lead to anger, right? And that anger will ultimately lead them to absorb the pshat of Torah in the best possible way, but that it will also distract them from trying to get home, which is what they're trying to do at the moment. Okay. A second idea in the Kli Yakar, right? So the pasuk says that when the brothers come back to Eretz Yisrael, so they tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive and that he's in fact the ruler of Mitzrayim. He doesn't believe them. Vaydabru elav, Pasuk Chav Zayim, Vaydabru elav Eis kol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem. They tell Yaakov all the words of Yosef that he told them. Vayarisu agolos. Asher sholach Yosef will say so. He sees, Yaakov sees the wagons that Yosef had sent to bring him back to Mitzrayim. Vatichi ruach Yaakov aviyem. And then the spirit of Yaakov is uplifted. Vayomer Yisrael rav od Yosef b'ni choy. And finally, Yaakov believes that Yosef is alive. What got Yaakov to change his mind? So here there's a very famous Rashi, almost every year somebody quotes this Rashi in some context or another. Rashi writes in Perchov Zayin that the brothers did two things. It's called Divrei Yosef. They told him all of the words of Yosef that he had told them to tell their father. Simen Mosar Lahem. Yosef said to his brothers, when you get back home and you see my father, you see our father, tell him the following. What were we learning about? What were we involved in when he and I separated from one another? We were learning the story of Egla Arufa, the halachas of Egla Arufa, the heifer which is decapitated when we find the dead body and we're not sure who murdered him. We were learning those halachas. That was the last thing we were learning together. And that's what's meant in the pasuk, that Yaakov looks up and he sees the wagons. The word agolos is similar to the word egla, which means the calf. He sees the wagons, asher sholach Yosef, that Yosef sent. Velo ne'emar asher sholach paro. And it doesn't say the wagons that Paro sent. Because after all, if you look earlier in the psukim, the wagons were actually sent by Paro. Paro is speaking to Yosef. And in Pasuk Yutes, he says, V'atot suveso zos asu, k'chulachem yeretz Mitzrayim agolos, l'tapchem u'neshechem, u'nesosim asavichem u'vosem. Right? It's Paro who tells Yosef to send the agolos, to send the wagons. So how come, when Yaakov sees the wagons, the Pasuk doesn't say he saw the wagons that Paro sent, which is the truth, it says he saw the wagons that Yosef sent. So, says Rashi, What's meant by the pasuk is as follows. He saw Yaakov was told this simon by the brothers that, you know, Yosef wanted us to tell you that the last thing that you were learning before he went down to Mitzrayim was the parsha of Egla Arufa. Vayaris Agolos, you know, doesn't mean that he saw the wagons. In other words, it means that Yaakov understood the reference to Egla Arufa that was told by Yosef to his brothers. So, you know, the second half of the pasuk is not talking about looking at the physical wagons whatsoever. It's rather a homiletic reference to the idea of Egla Arufa, which was told by Yosef to his brothers to convey to Yaakov. By the way, that is the simple pshat in this Rashi, even though oftentimes the Rashi's explained this as follows. When Yosef Davko sent Agolos in order to make a play on words, Agolo versus Egla. So when Yaakov saw the Agolos, he realized that, oh, Agolos equals Egla Arufa, must be that Yosef is trying to hint at the last thing that we learned together. That's often how Rashi is said over, but that's not what Rashi says. If you read Rashi carefully, how did Yaakov know about the fact that Yosef was trying to teach, you know, was trying to remind them of the fact that they learned Egla Arufa together? Because Yosef told his brothers, tell our father that the last thing we learned together was Egla Arufa. That was the simon that, you know, that the pasuk says, Vaydabu elav eitz kol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem. The brothers say to Yaakov, you know, Yosef told us to tell you that the last thing you were learning together was Egla Arufa. Right? It's that knowledge, that verbal knowledge, which is conveyed to Yaakov, which makes him believe that Yosef is still alive in Mitzrayim. When it says Vayaris Agolos, it doesn't mean that he saw the wagons and said, oh, he sent wagons. Wagons means Egla Arufa. Why on earth would you think wagons means Egla Arufa? Why would you think that? No, that's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that they told him, he told us to tell you that you were learning Egla Arufa together. Vayaris Agolos. Oh, so he understood the parsha of Egla Arufa. You know, he remembered that parsha of Egla Arufa, and that's why it says Asher Shalach Yosef, because the physical agolos were not sent by Yosef. The physical agolos were sent by Parah, as Rashi points out. So Vayarso agolos means that Yaakov understood and remembered the story of Egel Arufa that they were learning together. That's what Rashi means. That's the Pashut of Pshat in Rashi. Right? On that famous Rashi, so the Kli Yoker says as follows, Uperusho Rachok Me'od. This is a really far out pshat, says the Kli Yoker. Why is it so far out? V'chidarko shel Rashi lahotzi amikram pshuta lagamri. According to the way we just interpreted Rashi, which again is the simple pshat in Rashi, Rashi has just taken the phrase Vayaris la'golos asher sholach Yosef loseis oso, which in Pashut Pshat means Yaakov saw the wagons, and Rashi has said no, it doesn't mean Yaakov saw the wagons. It means Yaakov remembered the parsha of Egla Arufa. Now, it's true that Rashi oftentimes brings midrashic interpretations, but here the midrashic interpretation cited by Rashi is very far from the pshat in pasuk, right? Because the pshat in pasuk is he saw wagons. Right, the interpretation Rashi is bringing is he thought about Egla Arufa. He remembered Egla Arufa. That's very far from Vayaris or Agolos. Even though Rashi's committed to Pshat. Rashi tells you that back in Parshas Bereishis, Vanilo Basi Elo Liyashib Pshuto Shel Mikra. Right, my role as a biblical interpreter is to tell you Pshat. So this is very far from Pshat, says the Kli Yoker, the way Rashi is interpreting it. V'od agolos lamali di be'egla achas. Also, if you're saying vayarso agolos means he contemplated egla arufa, so then agolos is plural, right? It should be vayaris ha'egla. You know, he saw in his mind the parsha of egla arufa that they were learning together. So, how do you understand this Rashi? So, the Kli Yoker suggests the following pshat in Rashi. Al kein omer ani. Shigam Rashi hevin agolos kipshuta. My pshat in Rashi is as follows: agolos means wagons, even according to Rashi. Achma shenema shesholach Yosef elo nema shesholach Paro. Hevin Rashi mizeh shesholach perusho levoya. She Yosef also levoya laosan agolos asher sholach. What does it mean to send something? So we usually interpret send. You know, Paro gave the order for these wagons to be sent. But perhaps Yosef, as we would say in English, sent them along, meaning that when the wagons were loaded up in Mitzrayim, and, you know, the brothers were on their way out of Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael, Yosef accompanied the wagons for a period of time. Right, again, we have that phrase in English, you know, to send somebody off. So Vayarisu Agolos Asher Sholach Yosef Loseisoso means Yaakov saw the wagons and he realized that although Paro had commanded the wagons to be sent, Yosef had accompanied the wagons. We'll get to that in a minute. Yosef had accompanied the wagons on the way out of Egypt, so he saw the wagons which had been accompanied by Yosef. We have that use of shalach a little bit earlier in the psukim. He sent his brothers and they went. Right? So says the Kli Yoker, what does it mean that he sent his brothers? It means that he accompanied them. He sent them off. He saw them off. Right? Yeah. So one second, we'll get to that. Right? The Yosef Lomad Din Halavoya Min Yaakov. Shekein Ne'emar Lecha V'yeshloch Acho Aleihem. V'chi Achar She'eleich Yishalcha. Ma'ya Mikra Choser Im Ha'ya Omer Lecha Aleihem. Elitcha Omer Lavosa. Who taught Yosef the did of being Malafa? Somebody who's leaving, Yaakov himself, on that ill-fated trip, where Yaakov says, look, your brothers are, you know, your brothers are, you know, with the sheep in Shechem, go to them, So it says, V'chav yeshlochacha aleihem, go and I will send you to them. Obviously, if you're going, I'm going to send you there. It means go and I will accompany you at least part way. If you would have gone with them the whole way, you would have avoided the whole situation. But, you know, let me bring you at least part way to your brothers. V'yakov lomad din halavayim in Avram. Shnema v'Avram holechimam l'shalcham. Right? Yaakov learned the din of Levaya from his grandfather, from Avram. When Avram sees off the Malachim, the beginning of Parashas Vayera, on their way to stone, Avram walks with them to send them to stone. Pirish Rashi l'lavosam. V'zeo shenem ari shalcheu me'elik chevro. Sheshiluach zeh hainu Levaya. V'lama din ha-Levaya me'emek oso tzadik ha-kavur b'chevro. Ki Avram hischil b'levaya vayita esha natrikon achila shesia levaya. Right, and that's what's meant when Yaakov sends Yosef to the brothers. It says vayishlocheu me'emek chevra. He sends them from the valley of Chevron. We know Rashi famously comments Chevron is in the mountains; it's not in the valley. Right? What do you mean? He sent them from the valley of Chevron. He sent them with the. He walked. You know, he sent Yosef. He walked with Yosef. He accompanied Yosef. Based on the depth of that teaching of the man who was buried in Hebron, i.e. Avram Avinu. So there's a tradition in the family of being Malavah people as they go on their way, and that's what's meant by Shiluach.
So when is the Leah or Nora, and when did the person leave their house?
What do you mean?
Yosef was not a guest. I know that somebody that comes to the city and
right.
They have to do Leah. But he's like a guest. He's not a person of your house. So is this
mitzvah
even?
Anyone going on a journey. In other words, Yaakov was sending Yosef off, you know, on a journey to go find his brothers. So even though he was a resident of the house, you know, Levaya was relevant to him as well.
Oh, so,
right. So he'll talk about the purpose of Levaya a little bit, and you know, you will see that it's relevant to anyone going on a journey.
I just want to suggest that it says that he Ruach Yaakov Avinu, and Rashi says that at that point he got his Ruach HaKodesh back.
Right.
So maybe at that point he also figured out that Yosef, he also saw Ruach HaKodesh that Yosef went quietly with his brothers.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see in the Kliyoka in a few minutes. Yeah.
No. So you mentioned before it would have been better if Yosef had accompanied him the whole way. So why didn't he do that?
No. It would have been. It wasn't required for Yaakov to go with Yosef the whole way. Had Yaakov gone with Yosef the whole way to his brothers, the brothers never would have sold him. But there wasn't any obligation, you know, for Yaakov to go all the way with Yosef. I mean, if you see off somebody who's been at your house, you know,
Yosef to go with his brothers. Why didn't Yosef go with his brothers back to get Yaakov?
Nah, he was the king in Egypt. You know, he couldn't he couldn't leave the position. It wasn't so simple.
He seems to do things a lot indirectly.
Right. Well, you know,
like wagons to remember the Egla Rufa.
Right.
I mean, why didn't he just come out and say, "Tell your father I studied Egla Rufa with him"?
Right. No. So he does. In other words, that is the pshat in Rashi. In other words, the pshat in Rashi is that he told him that we studied Egla Rufa together. Exactly. Right.
Doesn't Levaya go together with Rufa?
With what? Oh, so very, very good. Yes, so that's the direction he's going in over here. So let's just see a little bit more. So the idea of Levaya is Leva Yaakov is Yosef. So the last thing that Yaakov did with Yosef before Yosef disappeared was Yaakov was Malava him. You know, he accompanied him, you know, at least part way to go see his brothers. And presumably when that happened, Mistama, he gidlo mitzvahs halavaya. So Mistama, he told him, you know, Yosef turned to his father and said, "Dad, you can go home now. I'm a big boy. I'm 17. You know, what's going to happen to me?" You know, ill-fated words. So Yaakov says to his son, "No, there's a mitzvah to be malavah you. There's a mitzvah to accompany you." Shemekarim parashas Egla Rufa. Where do we learn out this idea of levaya from? From Egla Rufa. Shiyamu zikne hoir yadelo shavcho es adam hazeh shlo patarnu below levaya. When the Sikanim say we're not responsible for this guy's death, we mean that we didn't, you know, neglect our responsibility of levaya when we accompany him out of the city. V'chein also gam Yosef kishaliva es echav mistama hayinifter mehem itoch divrei halacha halichos olam. להגיד להם דין הלוויה שבו היה עסוק. וכסיב, הידעו אליו אז כל דברי יוסף שדיבר עליהם, וקלו בזה כל הדברים. הן הדברים שדיבר להם בביסו, הן הדברים שדיבר להם כשליבה עושם, ושם דיבר עמוהם דין פרשוס אגלה ערופה. פיירסו הגולוס, ראי הזה עניין ההסבוננוס. I'll translate everything in a minute. Let's just go through, you know, a little bit more. Right? When Yaakov sees the wagons, it means that he contemplated the wagons. Ki Zbon and Yaakov, Masha Siprulo, Ki Yosef, Osa Haloch Lemaisa, Veliva Osano Agolos. Right? Says the Kliyoker, how did Yaakov know that Yosef had accompanied the wagons and the brothers on the way out? Very simple. The brothers told him. Now, as the brothers come back to Yaakov and they say, guess what? Yosef is alive, and he's in Egypt, and he's ruling over Egypt. They tell him the whole story, and then they say, and by the way, you know, again, without necessarily attributing significance to this, but they tell him, by the way, when we left Egypt, he loaded us up on these wagons, and he accompanied us, you know, whatever, a quarter of a mile, an eighth of a mile on the way out of Mitzrayim. He walked with us a little bit as we took these wagons home. Yeah, right. In other words, because it's something which is told to Yosef by Yaakov specifically, and it sounds like the brothers were not necessarily aware of it. And as he tells them, this is something special, right? See, you know, we're used to the idea of Levaya because people travel more. People didn't travel so much back then. And again, for the brothers, they were all traveling together, so who would have accompanied them? Right? They're all accompanying one another on the way out. Right, but maybe it doesn't apply to a group, again, for reasons that we'll see in a little bit. And maybe it's only the individual who's going from place to place and needs accompaniment. Otherwise, you have the accompaniment of everyone else is there. Right? So, basically, the way the Kliyoker sees the story is as follows. The brothers tell Yaakov, you know, Yosef's alive, and he accompanied, and you know, and telling the whole story, and he says, and you know, as we left Mitzrayim with these wagons, he accompanied us on the way out. And he told us that the idea of accompanying somebody is something that you learn from this whole din of Egla Arufa. So Yaakov hears this. And Yaakov says, well, it must really be Yosef. Vayaresu Agolos, he contemplates the wagons. Asher Sholach Yosef lo say so so. He contemplates the fact that the wagons, not that the wagons were sent, they were sent by Paro. He contemplates the fact that Yosef accompanies the wagons on their way out of Mitzrayim, and he says, oh, that's my boy. Right? What I taught him 22 years ago, he's still, not just that he remembers the last shiur that we learned together. The last thing I taught him, and that I put into practice, he's still putting into practice 22 years later. So it's not agolos like a play on words, you know, agola, egla, arufa, again, the way sometimes people say over this Rashi. No, he contemplated what Yosef had done with the agolos, and then he realized that Yosef was still keeping up all of the teachings of his father, despite the fact that he was in Mitzrayim. And that's what, you know, made Yaakov realize they're telling the truth, because no one other than my son would be, you know, would be following through on this tradition that I shared with him. Right? It's a beautiful, very, you know, very, very beautiful pshat in Rashi. B'zeh yada Yaakov ki Yosef ki ein b'chol eretz Mitzrayim osa tov ein gam echad shomer mishmeres Hashem l'fichoch v'tichi ruach Yaakov avim. That's what gave Yaakov the lift, you know, to realize that Yosef was still alive. אבל מן הדברים ששום יוסף בפיהם אין ראיו, כי שמה יוסף לימד דין זה לאחרים. אך מן המייסר לא כך ראיו. Right? The fact that the brothers tell Yaakov, you know, he told us the din of Levaya, that's not convincing, because maybe Yosef taught it to others. But the fact that Yosef put the din into practice, that's what convinced him that it was Yosef. Because Yaakov knew a little bit about the Egyptians. He said, you know, even if they knew the halacha of Levaya academically, you know, it's not the sort of thing that they would put into practice. Remember, I mean, these are the same Mitzrayim who, when Avram and Sarah come down in an earlier generation to Mitzrayim, You know, they're not concerned that you have a place to live, do you have a place to eat, do you have a place to sleep. You know, they want to know, well, what's your relationship? You know, are you husband and wife? Right? That's what they're interested in Mitzrayim. They're not interested in being nice to guests or taking care of them or taking care of foreigners or anything like that. The fact that Yosef puts Levaya into practice is the convincing proof that he's still the Yosef that Yaakov remembers. Okay. Just see one more piece at the very, very end of the parsha. The very last pasuk in the parsha is that Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen, right? The Jews, Israel, you know, meaning the nation, they dwell in the land of Mitzrayim and Goshen. Vayeyachazu ba, they inherit the land, you know, they become settled in the land. Vayifru vayirbu me'od, and they're very fruitful and they multiply and they're all over the place. Comes the Kli Yakar. The very next pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayichi, and as we know, there's no break between the end of Parshas Vayigash and the beginning of Parshas Vayichi. There's the one parsha in Chumash that doesn't start a new paragraph. Vayichi is immediately after the end of Vayigash. There's just the one space in the middle between them.
Is that
Stuma? Stuma, right? It's a Stuma, right? Yeah, right. The Samichle Vayichi Yaakov. Vayichi Yaakov is right after Vayifru Vayirbu Me'od. The famous Gemara in Tainus that says Yaakov Avinu never died. Right? That idea that Yaakov Avinu never died is hinted at by the juxtaposition of the last pasuk in Vayigash in the beginning of Parshas Vayichi. How so? So he reminds us of the Gemara. Umaksha. The Gemara there in Tainus asks, what are you talking about? Yaakov Avinu never died. They embalmed him. They buried him. They eulogized him. Those are things that usually go with being dead, right? I mean, if you were embalmed and buried and eulogized, Yaakov, right? If somebody was embalmed and buried and eulogized that he was not dead, we'd have a very big problem on our hands, right? I mean, if all these things happen, obviously he's dead. What do you mean, Yaakov Avinu lo meis? Well, Mitares, in the Gemara, the answer is Mikra. Mikra ani doresh al tira Yaakov v'shav zarel me'eret shivyom makishu lezara mazara b'chayim afu b'chayim. Right, the Gemara there brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that basically in the end of the day the Gemara says as long as the children of Yaakov Avinu are alive, he's considered to be alive. Well, makshim kansh l'tiris lo klum abichdi chantu chantayu. Right, so how does that answer the question? I mean, again, so they embalmed Yaakov, they buried him. So good, you have a drasha from a pasuk that says, just as his children are alive, he's also alive. But, you know, how does that answer the question? Well, bir adover hu. So the explanation behind the idea of Yaakov Avinu lo meis is as follows. Shekol mi shemeniach banim domek kilu eino meis. Person who leaves behind children, it's like he's not dead even after he's physically gone. There's a little bit of the father that's, you know, in the son. When the son is alive, so whatever portion of the father is in the son is also alive. So the truth is, you could say, okay, if the continued survival of your children means that you're still alive. So Avram is still alive. Yitzchak is still alive, right? Not exactly. Because whereas Avram and Yitzchak each produce children who don't follow their derech, Yaakov is mitaso shleima, again, all of his children follow in the derech of Yaakov. In other words, all of his children are considered to be following the path of Yaakov. They're carrying forth that little portion of their father. Kemosha Amru, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Kol Amaymid Ben Tzadik Ki Ilu Eino Meis. If you produce a son who's a tzadik, it's as if you yourself never died. Right? Lefikach Amru Davka Yaakov Lo Meis. Afal Pi Shechandu Chantayim Mikomakam Kishazaru Bachayim Oz Gamhu Chelik Bimeru Bachayim. Right? So you know, even though Yaakov physically died, you know, no one's denying that. Right? Yaakov Avinu lo meis doesn't mean that he's physically, you know, you go to Maaseh Machpelah and, you know, he's still, you're bopping around inside the Maaseh Machpelah. No, it doesn't mean that. Right? He's dead, but there's a little portion of Yaakov Avinu, again, in a spiritual sense, that's carried forward by virtue of the fact that his children, i.e. Klal Yisrael, are still alive.
And children? Grandchildren?
I think he means...
Is that by the children only? Is that by...
No, because then you would say the minute the children die, so Yaakov Avinu was dead at that point.
But he was saying that the children are slain.
Right.
But the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren are not slain. Does that affect Yaakov Avinu?
Right, so I guess, again, I'm not exactly sure, but I guess the first generation, there's a requirement that it be shlem to carry it on, and then it's solidified enough that even if not everybody's a shalem in the third, the fourth, the fifth generation, there's enough of a continuity that it's able to keep going after that. That's what says Yaakov Avinu lo meis. The Kliyakar takes the position that Yaakov Avinu lo meis, you know, is not meant in a literal sense. Again, if you recall when we learned Rabbeinu B'chaye last year, Rabbeinu B'chaye understands Yaakov Avinu lo meis in a somewhat literal sense. In other words, he quotes the idea that great tzaddikim still can exist in some quasi-physical way in this world even after they leave this world. So the example, the Rabbeinu B'chaye, if you recall, quotes the example of the Gemara that talks about Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, coming back to his home every Friday night to make Kiddush after he passed away. Right? That doesn't mean metaphorically he came back and made Kiddush. Again, I don't know what it means exactly, but it's meant in a literal sense. You know, that there was some physical continuity that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had even after he passed away. So, you know, that's Rabbeinu B'chaye says that's true of Yaakov Avinu as well. In some physical sense, he didn't die. The Kliyakar does not take that position. The Kliyakar, again, in contrast to saying the statement Yaakov Avinu lo meis is meant totally metaphorically, as long as the children of the person are alive, there's a certain sense in which the person's legacy is carried forward. So he says that's the juxtaposition of the psukim. Vayifru vayirbu ma'od. Klal Yisrael, the end of Parshas Vayigash, are fruitful and multiply. In other words, the nation goes on, the children continue. Vayichi Yaakov. And Yaakov is alive. That's the next pasuk. As long as Vayifru Vayirbu Ma'od, so you still have the Vayichi Yaakov. Right? It's a beautiful, beautiful thought in the psukim. Bez Hashem, next week we will continue the same time next week, you know, Wednesday night. We'll be back to the regular schedule. Wish everybody good Shabbos, and we'll see everybody there.